We are just a few days away from the Hall of Fame game, the moment we've all been waiting for to get started. Luke Kuechly will be inducted into the Hall of Fame, a homegrown Carolina Panther. The first depth chart for the Panthers has been released, and we have some contract stuff to talk about, getting to the money. Let's start it with this episode of Panthers Collective right now. What's up, guys? We're coming here live on a Tuesday. Yes, a Tuesday, a new day this time around. I have my co-host with me, Joe Person and Sheena Quick. I am Aaron Duncan, and this is the Panthers Collective. Welcome in, you guys. If you are not subscribed to the channel, please subscribe. We are here weekly for you guys, breaking down your favorite team, the Carolina Panthers. Joe, Sheena, how has the latest week of Carolina Panthers training camp been? First of all, how are y'all feeling? Any injuries that I need to know about to you guys? Like, are y'all good?
I'm fine. Joe, how are you?
Okay.
Are you making it? No turf monster?
I am probable with a case of old.
Is that the parentheses, old?
Yes.
Vet day.
But we have reached the week of Luke. It's a celebratory week for Panther fans, and we got a lot, as Dunk said, we got a lot to get into tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Sheena, how are you feeling? You okay?
I feel stupendous. Sensational, okay. Even.
It seemed like since last time we talked, the weather held up pretty good out there in practice, and things got a little intense today, but we're here to talk about the Hall of Fame game, which is 2 days away, guys. We've officially made it. The offseason is officially over. I call it a scrimmage for the preseason, pretty much the Hall of Fame game. And the Panthers have been selected to play in that game against the Arizona Cardinals. And Dave Canales made an announcement that no starters will play. Not shocking, breaking news or anything that anybody didn't expect. But he did name Kenny Pickett the starting quarterback. So with them only having three quarterbacks on the roster, it seems like Pickett's going to be the guy to take some pressure off of undrafted free agent rookie Haynes King, so he's not playing a full game. And so I guess what stuck out to you about the fact that Kenny Pickett is going to be the guy to be the starter, Joe?
Well, like you said, I think had Will Greer remained on this roster and not gone and taken a job with the Cowboys coaching staff, that he would have probably started this game and then given way to Haynes King. But when Greer retired and then went into coaching, obviously, I don't think they wanted to play Haynes the whole game. So I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to be in there long. I would guess a series or two at the most. And then we see a lot of Haynes King, and I think we're going to see a lot of running from Haynes King. I mean, this is a guy that rushed for nearly 1,000 yards at Georgia Tech. Like, he had 430 rushing attempts in three seasons at Georgia Tech. And look, like he told us today, when you're playing behind an offensive line that's going to be kind of mixing and matching, protection could be an issue. And I think we might need to set an over-under on Haynes King rushing yards. I don't know. What do you think, Sheena? Like 55, 58 rushing yards?
I'm going to give him a cool 55. I think 55 is a safe start. Honestly, so far to me, Joe, Haynes' arm looks better than Kenny Pickett's. I'm just going to be honest with you. And I wouldn't be surprised if at some point in the season he did become QB2. But so I am looking to see what kind of pocket presence and pocket awareness Kenny Pickett is going to have, because it's been non-existent in camp so far. I'm just going to be honest. It's been pretty non-existent. And I think that the edge that Kenny Pickett has over Haynes King is the experience. He, you know, he's getting up there, he's lining people up, he's checking the protections, he's doing all those things that Haynes King hasn't had to do in a live NFL game just yet. So I think that as the preseason goes on, yeah, so for me, I think that it'll be interesting to see how they handle the different looks of the quarterbacks. But I do think that right now, Haynes King is having a better camp than Kenny Pickett is, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Doug.
No, I'm just saying I FanFest, my only observation until I'll be at joint practice, but this is my only observation to see both quarterbacks. And just normal stuff with Haynes King, he's going to have to speed that clock up. It seems like he's obviously you're practicing, and that's kind of the biggest adjustment for most of these guys, just getting used to like, hey, I can't just sit here in the pocket. I have to use my legs. And so sometimes when you have that scrambling ability, it kind of shows in preseason. I mean, we saw for years how Joe Webb used to kind of just kind of go crazy in preseason because he was such a runner. And so I think that it almost has to show. But I just think the biggest thing for Haynes King is just try to see if he can deliver the football. There's a lot of receivers that need to get a look on this roster. And so I know last year some guys were probably hampered by UFL, was he MVP or like offensive player of the year, Jack Plummer last year in preseason. And they really didn't get the targets that they may need. But there's guys that I'm assuming they'll see the field, like a Jimmy Horn Jr. or a Jasiem Reed or a guy, I don't even know who else could play that at the back of the roster that would need those targets. So that's kind of what I'm looking forward to see if he can deliver the football. But I think I do expect a lot of rushing from him as well.
Yeah, I think Bryson Tremaine's another guy we'll see in that receiving core. He had a really nice catch today, actually came down out of bounds. On a really nice pass from Bryce in the end zone. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, they've got some decisions to make. And I know they've got a month still to make it, but with those down the roster receivers. And I really like Jasiem Reed. I had a chance to talk to him today. He is a guy that is really showing up in pretty much every practice. He was on this practice squad. You know, guys get on that practice squad and you get into the course of a 17-game season, you don't really get to write about him. But he was here all year last year. He told me today that he really benefited from going against J.C. Horn and Mike Jackson every day. I mean, I had people around the program tell me that he made life tough on those guys some days, that he was, you know, kind of a – he was a good receiver. He's a craftsman at his route. And he's a great underdog story, guys. This guy played football at University of San Diego. The only reason I know about the University of San Diego football program is they're in Davidson's conference. It's the only football championship subdivision conference that has no athletic scholarships. So he was on an academic scholarship at San Diego. And here he is with a chance to make a 53-man roster 2 years later.
And traveling I think that's from San a strong Diego chance to Davidson. Too. Yeah, that's a strong chance too, Joe. He definitely had some moments that stood out in camp. You know, like I said, a different receiver steps up almost every practice as far as trying as who are going to be those receivers 5, 6, and possibly 7. So, you know, that's what makes Haynes King performance that much more important. Because like you said, Dunk, guys are counting on him. Guys are counting on him to get them the ball and so that they can showcase what they can do to try to make this 53.
Yeah, so I'm very curious to see how that plays out. We've also heard that we're not going to see Monroe Freeling, the rookie. We're not going to see Jonathan Brooks. Of course, Xavier Leggett had injured today, but we weren't going to see him anyway. Princely had a kind of halfway joke that he was looking forward to being in sweatsuit. So who's some guys maybe – some younger guys that you guys are maybe looking forward to seeing as like not receivers, maybe even on the defensive side of the football.
Sorry. I'm trying to push my chair up. I'm sorry. I thought I could be discreet.
you take it. Take the first swing at it, Sheena.
Will Lee. I mean, I'm sorry, not Will Lee, but yeah, Will Lee too. But Lee Hunter. I think a lot of people were surprised when that depth chart came out. We'll talk about that later on in the show. And Cam Jackson was ahead of him, but Cam Jackson is having a stronger camp. So I am looking forward to seeing Lee Hunter. Zaki Wheatley.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to getting a closer look at him because we've seen kind of the core guys for the most part, but I do want to see him. I don't know if Will Lee will play or if he will play. Well, he will play because he's listed third string on the depth chart for whatever reason. I think that he's been having a good camp. So those are the young guys that stick out to me just right offhand.
Yeah, I'll stay on the defensive side and talk about Aaron Hall. He's, of course, that undrafted rookie from Duke at defensive tackle. And this is a defensive tackle unit now that's already was missing Turk Wharton. And now we get the surprise retirement today from LeBrian Ray. So Sheena mentioned Cam Jackson and Lee Hunter, but heck, there could be an opportunity for a guy like Aaron Hall, who had a pretty solid career at Duke. I've seen him show up in a couple of the practices. Not, you know, I can't say he's making plays every day, but he's a big dude, 6'4", 300, who can move. And so, again, I think the LeBryan Ray retirement, and, you know, here's a guy that had played, 48 games, something like that, the last three. I guess it was 48 games for Ojero Averro the last three seasons, and was going to be in the two deep again this year, but evidently he kind of had enough football. Don't know the whole backstory yet, but that was sort of how it was posed to me. But anyway, an opportunity for a guy like Aaron Hall to get out there Thursday in Canton against Carson Beck and show what he can do.
Gets Carson Beck. This is what the America wants. Carson Beck versus Kenny Pickett / Haynes King.
The matchup. Dunk, how would you sell this matchup, man? Carson Beck versus this Panthers defense.
I will ask one question. Do you love football or not? That's the question.
That's what it's going to come down to. How big of a football fan are you to watch this game Thursday night? Joe and I have no choice.
Starving. Right.
Joe and I have been no starving. Choice.
The guy I'm looking forward to probably on defense, I would probably have to go with a linebacker. I want to see what Ben Martin Scott can do. He's a depth guy. Obviously, he's not a rookie, but he played a lot down the stretch out of necessity because we had so many injuries. But I want to see what type of progress he can make. I'm not really sure how many linebackers they typically keep. I don't know if it's four or five, but with Jackson Kuwatch, a guy that they drafted, and, of course, Claude and Sherrill is there, we'll see what this kind of how this room is going to shake out in terms of the order of what they do. And, of course, like I said, Ben Martin Scott is a guy that was undrafted free agent that made the roster last year. You would think he has an inside track, but I want to see what type of progress he's made this offseason after having some valuable experience last year. So I'll have my eye on him definitely. And of course, he's a South Carolina product. So I'm sure there will be some Gamecock faithful with their eyes on him.
Go Cox.
So, yeah, go Gamecocks. You may not make no fans in the chat, but shout out to the chat for everybody that's tapping in. We hear you saying that the stream is buffering. Somebody said if you go back 5 seconds and start it again, you should be good. I hope that's the case. I've alerted the proper authorities, so hopefully we can get this figured out. If it's not,
wasn't my fault, man. wasn't my fault this time.
We're not pointing
usually
any fingers at anybody.
Usually my audio is pretty good too, but people were saying I was a little quiet. I don't know. I didn't adjust. I adjusted the mic again to turn it up just a little bit more. But yeah, it's gonna come down to how much you love football.
Yeah, I mean, I'm there. I'll be front and center. I'll be watching all the game. And fortunately, I have a interest in the team. So it's a lot easier to keep up with it versus prior years. Any other thoughts on the Hall of Fame game before we kind of move on to the reason for the season, I guess?
I mean, just following up on kind of our take on this, it is interesting because when the schedule gets announced, it's like, whoa, Hall of Fame game and you know, prime time and the exhibition kickoff game and all that is cool. And there will be a lot of people who watch this game. I mean, I'm sure the numbers of viewers will be crazy compared to like Major League Baseball that night. But when you look at it from the standpoint of Dave Canales, I mean, he's got three more of these games. He's got a pair of joint practices against Houston and Jacksonville. And you got to be smart. And there's no reason to run anybody out there. I mean, there will be injuries. I mean, that's just how the game of football goes. And so they've had enough of them already. The Panthers have. And so, yeah, I know we're being a little facetious but I'm looking forward. I haven't been to Canton in a long time and, you know, getting up there a little early and checking things out. And, I know Sheena, you're staying for the enshrinement, aren't you?
I think you're muted, Sheena.
Wait, we can't hear you.
Yeah, we can't hear you. Hopefully you'll have another reason to go to Canton again, maybe next year. If Steve gets in finally, So,
well, full disclosure, I am not staying for the enshrinement. I wanted to, but we have a couple, at least one, maybe two of our national folks are there. And so I, you know, I made the case that, like, those guys didn't cover Luke, but I got a big story dropping tomorrow at The Athletic, a big, long story on Luke that I had a lot of fun reporting on. And I know we're going to get to Luke a little later.
Yeah, I mean, that's cool. I mean, like I said, we'll talk about Luke a little bit more. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a great weekend. I'm excited. I usually don't watch all the speeches. But
got a little echo
on you, I think on your side, Sheena, but I'll be watching the speech, of course, with Luke. It'll be an exciting time. But as far as the game, I just think that, yeah, you said it, Joe, the injuries have been tough, but you look at it from afar. I mean, initially when the schedule comes out, you're like, oh wow, this is a young team. They get an extra shot at it. They get extra practices, an extra game plus two joint practices. Like, this is valuable reps that they'll be able to get. And now it's like, what, a week or so in? Like, fast forward to the season to start, please, to avoid any other injury. So it's always that back and forth and that push pull that you want, that, okay, let's get some good work in, but we got to protect the team because they've already had enough injuries thus far. And I think you talked about it, Joe, earlier, of them being, I mean, last week, about the team kind of being in camp early. So you're starting to see more and more injuries happen to other teams now. So it's starting to seem like, okay, yeah, now those accumulation of practices are starting to kind of even out, per se, around the league as well. So we'll see how this Hall of Fame game goes. Sheena, are you good?
I think so. Are you guys able to hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. I mean, and just like you said, you know, you're starting to see those injuries pile up around the league, and two in particular
here this week, even though, as we said, it's not going to be the Derek Browns and the Rasheed Walkers of the world, but some younger guys still good to be not going against your own guys, where you kind of start knowing what the defensive scheme is and what the offensive plays are. And hey, we got to love some football, like Sheena said earlier.
Yeah. I'm excited to actually have some tape to break down after the game instead of looking at last year, and you can actually move on to what's to come. Sheena, anything else? I know you were muted for a second. I don't know if you got a lot on your mind.
Man, listen, Joe jinxed me this week. Joe jinxed me. So I'm looking at the chat to try to see, am I still echoing or is it better? They said this is quiet starring Sheena. So look, I don't know what happened. This mic has always been the same. I have not touched it. I got my audio together and I didn't touch it, so I don't know what's going on today. Year two players taking a beating. Jalen Walker's out, ACL, Jimmy Horn junior season. I actually did a sit down with Jimmy Horn today, and he did say that he will be factoring into the return game a lot more this season. He said the last season he was just kind of focused on getting in the playbook and just learning the receiver position, but I will be posting that a little bit later to kind of give you guys a look into what's going on with Jimmy Horn and how he, you know, bounced back from that last play of last season. Everybody knows the one that was fourth down.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to sharing that with you guys, but he is looking to factor into that return game, and I'm sure we will see that on Thursday. I'm sure that's something to look forward to on Thursday.
Okay. Yeah, and that's something I noticed on the depth chart too, and I guess we can talk about it a little bit later too, but go ahead, Joe.
No, jump into the depth chart, or do we go in order of how we have it there?
We can talk about Luke. We don't have to spend a ton of time on Luke. I know it's Hall of Fame related, but obviously we know, again, the reason for the season is Luke Kuechly going into the Hall, getting that bronze bust in the yellow jacket. Well deserved, man. Just to read off some stats that you guys all witnessed, of course. 8 seasons, 7 Pro Bowls, 5 All-Pro first team elections, Defensive Rookie of the Year in 2012, right back again, Defensive Player of the Year in 2013. He's on the All-Decades team for the 2010s. He's the second youngest Hall of Famer to be inducted, and he had over 1,000 tackles in just 8 seasons. Luke Kuechly, and just looking at some of the numbers and just how it is, like, you hit the ground running being the Defensive Rookie of the Year, and then you get named the best defender in the league and, like, on the All-Decade team, pretty much at the top of his position for his whole career. And it just seems like one of the most dominant players we've seen ever. And it's just, I feel privileged to be able to witness and just have him on my favorite team. And just, this is somebody that, every fan loves. I don't know anybody that's ever had a negative thing to say about Luke internally in terms of a Panthers fan, of course. I mean, even people outside the organization just respect the way he plays just because of what he does and how he's wired. I think this is cool for me personally as a fan because he's – and we've had other Panthers in the Hall of Fame, but a Panther lifer, right. You know, one of the mm-hmm. first Panther lifers. Obviously, Peppers, he had his – NFC tour before he came back and retired, but it just means a little bit more for me because of Luke's, I guess, loyalty per se to the organization and ability to stay there and just how much of a player he was. Any thoughts on your favorite Luke memory, Sheena?
Oh man, recency bias for sure, but one of my favorite was when he leaked to Josh Norman that Greg Olsen wasn't playing in the game. When they were about to face the Commanders later on that week.
That
one was funny. That one was funny. I mean, we get to see a lot of different sides of Luke. Luke is the all-American good guy, but on the field, he's an entirely different animal. And we got a glimpse into that in the All or Nothing documentary that Amazon did a couple years ago. But just the all-around good guy. And like you said, if you're a fan of football, you're a Luke Kuechly fan. That's just pretty much point blank. There's nobody that has anything negative to say about him. When it comes to linebackers, he is the standard. You know, a lot of the younger guys model themselves after Luke Kuechly and just hope that they can become as astute in the game as he is. He's just a lover of football. If you mention the word football, Luke Kuechly's going to talk your head off for at least an hour. So it's just good to see him get his just due. It was good to see him be able to leave the game under his own on his own power. It was rough seeing the concussions kind of start to take a toll on him, but being able to leave on his own terms is something that I will always respect, and I'm glad that he had the chance to do that.
Now, yeah,
I have one more funny story. One more funny story. Best security. If you guys are watching this, like, shout out. You guys have to give your employees a pat on the back or a reprimand. I don't know. It depends on how you take this story. We were getting on the elevator to go up to the fourth floor on the night of the playoffs, the night of the wild card game. They did not want to let Luke Kuechly up without a credential, Joe. And I was on the elevator like.
And how did he react? I'm guessing he did not like. Play the don't you know who I am card.
No, it never left his mouth. He just was like, okay, I guess I need to step back off this elevator and find somebody to give me clearance. Just always a humble guy, but I thought that was hilarious that I was being given access to an area that Luke Kuechly was not in Bank of America Stadium of all places. So that was pretty funny just seeing how he handled that. But that's just kind of that's the kind of guy he is though.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the humility because, I mean, that dunk really touched on his accomplishments, Mel. And I was fortunate enough to cover his whole career here. And a couple real quick stories. I remember his rookie year. So 2012, this was back when the Charlotte Observer would send me to the Super Bowl every year. Obviously, the Panthers weren't in it those years. But so the night back then that the honors was the night before the game. Sheena knows all this, but at any rate, there was like no other Panther reporters there. And I didn't know if Kuechly was going to win defensive rookie of the year. I thought he had a good chance. So he gets the award and they bring him back. And it's like this tent back behind it, an art museum or something in New Orleans where the game was. And afterwards, I pull him to the side, and it's just the two of us. And he couldn't believe I was there. He was like genuinely appreciative. And then secondly, he was like, did you get tipped off that I was winning it? Like, and I said, no, thought there's a good chance you were. But just kind of the humble side of him. And I made him mad once about concussion stuff with a tweet that I had sent, and he was right and I was wrong. It was a poorly worded tweet. Ryan Khalil once said to me that this would probably been like 2016, and Khalil was hurt that year, and Khalil said, I go away for a couple of months and you manage to make the nicest guy in the world mad. But because Luke Kuechly is who he is and the professional and the gentleman he is, we moved on, and I'd like to think we have a good professional relationship today, and good for him. He well deserved. I'm glad he's getting his flowers and getting that bust in Canton.
Yeah, as a fan, like, and people have emotional ties to players as a fan, obviously, and me being a fan / content creator, I can't help but get them involved. But I have to say, and maybe people object to it, but I think the retirement of Luke probably hit me a little bit harder than Cam Newton getting cut. And I think mainly because there was a lot of rumbles and stuff with Kyle Allen and all that stuff throughout the year, and there were hints at it as well. And we knew that once a new coaching staff was coming, there was a potential that could happen. But the Luke Kuechly thing just happened like in the middle of the night. It just hit me like a shotgun blast to the chest. It was crazy, and I needed a few days because it just really caught me off guard. And just you get so used to and accustomed to a guy like Luke being on the field and playing at a certain level and making all the tackles and all that stuff, and you just kind of not take it for granted per se, but you don't really imagine a day like that happening out of the blue, like you said, she's leaving on his own terms. And and then the emotions that he had during the speech, it was just a tough watch for me. I've only watched it once. I can never probably go back and watch it. Like, there's certain things that I just like too tough for me. I can't watch Wakanda Forever. I can't watch the second one. I don't know why. But what's the name? Dying kills me in that movie every time. But there's certain emotional videos that I can't just watch. And that's one of them. It just really hit me hard. And I don't know. He's just the model of what you want in not just a linebacker, but any kind of football player, the cerebral assassin that he was, but the ability to elevate his teammates because of his brain. Like, his brain was like, he was able to use it to elevate everybody else's play, and how everybody just talks about how he saw the play before it happened, and just that processing power. That's just not something that you see every day. I don't know if we'll ever see anybody like Luke Kuechly again. Truly a generational linebacker, in my opinion. There's a lot of people, because of longevity, that will kind of knock him in terms of being one of the greats, if not the greatest of all time, excuse me. But this is me personally. I'm a little biased, of course. I think he's probably one, if not the best. Of course, he doesn't have a Super Bowl ring, so people like to have that in there, and they'll put Ray up there. But I just think the way he played the game, he was the best linebacker I've ever seen in my life.
You had a game plan for Luke Kuechly.
What's
you
that?
Had a game plan for, you had a game plan for Luke Kuechly. You have to know where he is on the field. And I think that's one of the highest testaments to a player is when you can affect the other team's plans. And you had to have a plan for Luke Kuechly.
I talked to Matt Ryan for this story that we're publishing tomorrow in The Athletic. And Ryan said that the Falcons, of course, he went to Boston College like Luke did and knew of him, but really knew him as a rival. And he said the Falcons would have to, like, run stuff away from their tendencies because of Luke's, you know, knowledge and figuring stuff out. And even things that the Falcons weren't necessarily really good at, but they had to try to break tendency. Otherwise, Luke would be all over it. And I thought that was fascinating. And we could sit here and trade Luke stories all night. I mean, the 24 tackle game against the Saints, the Romo play in the Thanksgiving, the two Romo plays, but the one where he's going in the end zone and stiff arms him as he goes in. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, truly one of the greatest. And I'm glad he's finally getting to just do – I mean, obviously they changed the process, but it pissed me off. He wasn't first ballot. I'm not going to lie. But because if Luke Kuechly or like a guy like Belichick, if they're not first ballot, we have to redo the system. And so we'll see what they do in terms of that part. Because, again, we know we have some other we have another Panther that's in the pipeline that's we don't know when his time will be. But it happens when it happens. But shout out to Luke. On that, but we are about at the halfway point, so it is time to pay some bills. Shout out to Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one sports picking app. All you have to do is pick more or less when you do use the players, and if you get it correct, you win. And right now, if you use code HMA at the link down below in the description, they have a brand new promo as we get ready for football season. If you play $5 and you win, you're going to get $150 in credits. And so if you are a junkie like your boy and you are missing football, you can do a Prize Pick slip on the Hall of Fame game. Yes, they now have Kenny Pickett's numbers and Carson Beck's numbers up, y'all. I want to get you guys' thoughts. Kenny Pickett's line is set at 48 and a half passing yards. Do you think he has more or less? I personally put less, but I just don't think he's going to play enough. And if he does play, I'm thinking maybe a three and out or not much. We run the ball. Do you guys think Kenny Pickett can have more or less than 48 and a half passing yards?
I'm going under.
I'm going under too, because I don't know that he'll play more than one or two series, honestly.
I do want to see hey, Dunk. Sorry, are you all hearing an echo on me?
Just no. A little bit.
All right. Anyway, I said this earlier, only half jokingly. I do want to see, does Prize Picks have Haynes King's rushing yards?
Not right now. Maybe they'll have it tomorrow, since we're getting a little bit more information on who's going to play and who's not, but not right now. Right now, they don't have anybody else's rushing yards. They just have kind of the quarterbacks.
Got it.
But if they did, you're saying that you would take the rushing yards. Is there a limit that you would not go over? There's a line that you think would be too high.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that he's going to get a hundy, but I think he's going to, especially like I think there's some rain in the forecast. It doesn't look like it's as bad as it was showing earlier in this week. But I'm kind of excited to watch him run around, man. He's a dual threat type of dude. And like you said, who'd you say you used to see run around in Panthers preseason games?
Joe Webb.
Yes. I saw Joe Webb run around against your Gamecocks 1 year for UAB. And after the game, it was Steve Spurrier's, sorry, a very quick diversion. Steve Spurrier's first game in Columbia, and he's after the game. Gamecocks won, but not by much. And after the game, he said, yeah, Joe Webb was the best player on the field tonight. We didn't have an answer for Joe Webb, man.
Sound like Spurrier.
Sounds just like
But Spurrier, I digress.
Actually.
But they also have Carson Beck at 92 and a half passing yards. I put that over. I don't know how I feel about that. Obviously, I don't like to judge by clips, but the clips – did not seem great of his accuracy, but I do think he's going to play a big chunk of the game. Obviously, Jacoby Brissett's not going to play. But I do think Carson Beck is going to be able to sling it. But now that we're talking about the weather, I probably will switch it to less now that I'm thinking about it. And I just add a little razzle dazzle. I put Ryan Fitzgerald over more than 1.5 made field goals. I just trust his leg. And I do think there's going to be a struggle in terms of moving the ball consistently, especially with the amount of youth that's going to be on the field. He has a strong leg too, so I think if they get into his range, they'll take some shots, just get him some action in, I guess, quote unquote, live bullets. What do you guys think about Ryan?
That sounds good. That sounds accurate. He's like you said, he has a strong leg. He does have nice accuracy. So if they are in those situations where he can put three on the board, I think he's absolutely going to do that. So I don't think that taking the over is too crazy.
Yeah, I like your train of thought too, your logic behind that, Dunk. I mean, a lot of times in these preseason games, you get down into the red zone and you're not running all your stuff. So let's put the field goal unit out there. Let's take the three.
Yeah.
Might as well.
So if you put $5 on this slip, if you take my advice, go ahead.
No, so you might as well get the reps. They need reps too. Kicks need reps too.
Yeah, for sure. It's a lot more pressure in those games than in practice. So if you put $5, you can win 6 times your entry fee. And that gives you, if you win that, you get $28.75, but you also get the $150 promo that Prize Picks is going on. If you use the code HMA, shout out to Prize Picks again for sponsoring the Panthers Collective. We appreciate Prize Picks. All right, so let's get back to it. First depth chart drop, guys. And I know the disclaimer that always comes out is this is only the first depth chart. It doesn't mean anything, but time and time again, I feel like there's not too many changes from the initial depth chart, but obviously we have to see these guys go out on the field. Not a ton of surprises, but I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on if there was anything that shocked you. I'll say, and Sheena, you touched on it, Achan still locking down both the punt return and the kick return duties really had me a little bit interested because last time we saw Trevor Etienne return a punt, it hit his chest, hit the ground, and I mean, I'm sure he returned a punt after that. But in the game, he had a muff punt. And so a lot of fans, including me, are sour on him there. He wasn't even a punt returner in college, which is the weird part for me as well. But you said that Jimmy is going to have a real shot at something to say with that, about that. So can you sprinkle a little bit more on that? But also give me if you had any other shocking thing that surprised you at all about the depth chart.
You know, that's that like I said, like you said before, that is what Jimmy was known for. Jimmy was known, you know, in the return game. So he did say that we will be seeing a lot more of that from him this season. And I would dare to say Thursday will be our first taste of that. For me, and this is probably purely because he's a rookie, is Willie being third string. He's not played like a third stringer. He's held his own against the ones. And, you know, with he's out on the boundary. He obviously is coming along well enough for them to be comfortable with moving J.C. Horn to the slot. So I think that says a lot. But again, I think that the people ahead of him, it is really just an experience thing. And I wouldn't be surprised to see him move up that depth chart as we get through the preseason. But he certainly has not been playing like a third stringer to me.
You guys remember when Taylor Moten's blood clot issue came to light? Dave Canales said he called Monroe Freeling and said, I didn't want to just give you this job. Like, I wanted you to earn it. And but now we need you, and you're going to start the year. You're going to start camp, at least, as the number one right tackle. I think that's what we're seeing in some of these instances on this depth chart, as Sheena astutely mentioned, the Will Lee situation. Lee Hunter, too, to me – it's a little jarring to me to look at the depth chart and see Cam Jackson starting, even though we were all standing there the other day when we saw him just walk Sam Heck back into the backfield like he was a ragdoll.
Walked into the parking lot, to be honest. I thought he was escorting him for practice the way that went down. I was like,
he took him right out of my video. He just took him right out of the video.
It's a large human to move.
He is. And if he can get the pad level down.
Yeah.
But my point is, I think Lee Hunter and Will Lee are falling into this deal where they just don't want to see these guys in the opening depth chart starting, and maybe Cam Jackson ends up holding him off and starting it because you're right. I mean, he has a ton of potential, and they just don't grow guys that size, you know, on every street corner. He is a big human. But I do think there's some of that. Let's make these rookies earn their spot on the depth chart at play here.
Yeah, Cam is huge. He's a little taller than Derrick Brown, but very similar measurables in that 6'5", 6'6", 320, 330 range. I mean, and that's probably being generous for him. He's huge. And like you said, if he can get his pad level down, that's exactly what he did get Sam Heck. And he learned the hard way about what happens when a guy that big uses his leverage. I actually thought Cam Jackson came off pretty strong down the stretch in the spot duty he had. He had that block kick against the Bucks, that pick against the Bucks where Baker threw. He was the one that kind of got the initial pressure that moved Baker off the spot. I thought against the Seahawks, he had a solid game. He got some reps there. Didn't play a ton last year, but again, his pad level did improve, and it's always going to be a work in progress when you're 6'6". So I want to see what he has. I'm assuming he'll play Thursday. So another opportunity to put some film out there. Lee Hunter will be able to play as well. I thought Lee was fairly disruptive in FanFest for whatever that's worth. I saw a couple plays where he got in the backfield there. So it'll be interesting to see how those guys duke it out. But of course, corner was a little bit weird. Like, I agree with you, Sheena, but I think I'm just not sure how to get a read on what Corey Thornton is. Is he going to be that nickel? Is that why he's just kind of just there? Because there's no nickel on their depth chart. So maybe they just sprinkled the nickel guys like Shaw in there as well, because they really had no other place to put them. I don't know if they look at Corey to play outside at all in terms of if they don't get what they need from Will Lee. I'm not sure, but it kind of is what it is. On the offensive side, though, obviously there's a little bit of – there's lack of depth. But the one thing that stuck out to me was tight end. And seeing and I guess they flipped it around on this version that I'm looking at now. Initially, I thought I saw Mitchell Evans ahead of Jatavion Sanders, but the new official version I see is not the case. But
no, he is ahead of him.
He is?
Mitchell's second.
Okay.
And Mitchell's tight end, too?
Yeah, I saw that on the initial one, but here's the, I guess the newer one, it was the case. So that was a little bit interesting to me as well. I know there were some questions about JT today to Canales, and he talked about him working on his route running and stuff like that. So that was always a question mark. Anything else offensive-wise? I know there's some depth issue, so things will work itself out, and some Panthers fans may get a little alarmed seeing Stone Forsythe in two different spots as backup tackle on both sides. But
that's just the reality right now.
Yeah. What struck me is all the tight ends on here. They currently have seven tight ends on the roster, which I don't know. I know a lot of those guys a lot of these tight ends often play special teams in preseason games. So I guess that's part of it. A lot of backup linebackers, a lot of backup tight ends on special teams. But yeah, Mitchell Evans and JT Sanders, that's an interesting battle because I think both of them have done some nice things. Sheena said Canales was really praising Sanders today. He sprained an ankle, but it doesn't look like it's going to be too serious. I don't think he'll play this week, but it's not like a long-term deal. But and then Evans is back from an ankle sprain. So they've so far avoided injury to that position. And yeah, I'm sorry. I'm hearing this feedback on my end.
I mean, even though, you know, like you said, you don't expect JT Sanders' injury to be significant, the fact of the matter is he's missed a lot of time with injuries. He's missed a lot of games with injuries. This is what, year three for him? And he's missed a significant chunk to me. I feel like if you miss half or more, that's significant. That could be the thing that puts Mitchell Evans ahead of him. Because there was a lot of promise when JT Sanders came here. It was a lot of expectations that they were going to get more from the passing game that they hadn't gotten since. They really hadn't got any production receiving-wise from that position group since Greg Olsen. You know, mainly the tight end had just been used as another blocker. And so we thought that the tide was turning, but then, you know, he'll show flashes and then he gets injured. Then he comes back, shows flashes, and then he gets injured. So there needs to be some continuity and some stability in terms of him, of keeping him healthy, for him to be able to really factor in to even have a chance at being tight end one, like he was expected to take over when he first got here.
Yeah, I think that neck injury, excuse me, against the Chiefs, man, it just seemed like, and maybe it's that, maybe it's not, but he did, like you said, he just showed a lot of flashes and promise as a rookie. I mean, he had a little bit of stuff, I think, even after that, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I can't remember if that Saints game or that Chiefs game was first, where he hurdled the guy and ran for like 30 yards. And so, like, he's shown some flashes of athleticism, but
just got to stay on the field.
Yeah, he just hasn't been able to consistently be healthy enough to put it all together. So, hopefully they can get more from that tight end group to really figure out what's what there. Anything else stick out to you guys on the depth chart before we kind of move on to the money talks?
No real surprises for me outside of the defensive side of the ball.
I am interested in the return deal because it just seems like that area is a little thin. Coker's been returning punts, but I think they prefer not using him there. It seems like they could just use another return specialist, and maybe it is Jimmy Horn. I mean, I think that could help his roster spot, because I think Jimmy's gonna have a real, like, we're 1 week into it or 2 weeks into it, but I think right now he'd be on the outside looking in. So getting a shot to go make plays in the return game would really benefit him, and I think benefit the Panthers, because I mean, Dunk, you expressed kind of, you know, the history with ETN. He was okay last year, but they didn't have a ton of game-breaking plays out of that return unit.
Yeah, I think the one good return they had, was it the Rams? It got called back. It was earlier in the game, but that was like the one of the biggest punt returns he had all year. So, yeah, I mean, the Panthers really haven't had a weapon back there in a while. I know they had Amir Smith-Marset that ran one back. What was that, 2023? I guess he ran that one back against the Bears, but haven't really had much of a weapon there over the course of the past few years, just because, and it's a big part of the game with obviously kickoffs and stuff being moved up. Field position is huge nowadays. Anything thoughts, just real quick for the last point before we move on, about Princely Umam Yellen? Obviously, with Nick scoring out, there's going to be expectations for him to step up as that other edge rusher from that class. He's slated right now behind Jalen Phillips. And so what do you guys view as his? Obviously, he's not going to be marked as a starter on this depth chart as we see, but what do you guys get from him being in the rotation? He talked about him finding Christ and him really trying to get his life together, the social media fast, and we know he's a Twitter celeb amongst Panthers fans. So what do you guys read on like how he fits into the rotation and how much playing time he's going to be able to try to see out of this rotation between Phillips and Pat Jones?
Well, the talent's there for sure. You hear Jalen Phillips, you hear Pat Jones, and everybody raves about how he's one of the best. Was it the edge rusher? They call him one of the best pass rushers in the room, and that's high praise coming from those guys. So I look for him to actually factor into that rotation quite a bit, maybe a little bit faster than expected with the injury to Nick Scorton. But these guys are competitors. He clearly was not pleased with his role in the defense last year. He wanted a bigger role, and he knows that if you're going to do that, you have to put some plays out there on the field. And so that could have added to the extra focus going into year two. I wasn't happy with how this went. Let me, show them that I belong on the field. So I do think that he factors really heavily into that rotation when the season starts.
I agree with you. And I think Canales challenged him publicly last week by saying that they know what he can do as a pass rusher. And if he wants to be a specialist and come in on third downs when they bump Pat Jones, down inside for a mismatch against a guard or something, then you can do that. But if you want to be on the field more, then you got to get more stout against the run game and hold that edge a little bit better. And they clearly think he's big and strong enough and athletic enough to do that. And I thought that was an interesting challenge Canales threw his way. And Princely seems like he's not that there was no focus, like not that there was a lack of focus last year, but he seems pretty locked in so far. And I still think his value to this team, though, is going to be as a situational pass rusher. And I think he can be impactful with Scorton out. They need him. I mean, if they get a couple weeks into the season and they're not getting much pass rush outside of Jalen Phillips, that's going to be hard, and that might get Dan Morgan looking outside the building.
Yeah, I thought he had a interesting comment about if he was doing what he did now years ago or wherever, that he would be further along. He kind of gave his advice to his other brother, some variation of Prince. I don't know which one it is, but the one that I think is, I don't know if it's Prince Will, but he's at Ole Miss. But
right.
He kind of gave him that, and Gina talked about the comment. I think what Jalen actually said was he's the naturally gifted pass rusher in the room. And sometimes when you have those natural gifts, you can rely upon that. And he kind of admitted that, and he didn't always maybe put in the work because he was able to get by like that. As somebody that was a slacker in school that did not study for tests because I could just kind of get by off photographic memory, that resonated with me. So when you seeing him put in the work, and he's been posting it when he was on Instagram or whatever, like he said, that's where to find him. You saw the workout videos. He's around the facility. He was putting in the work. He was eating right. Like I said, he found Christ. So it seems like he's figuring it out, and I think it's going to be a mindset thing for him against the run. It's just a level of physicality you got to play with, and I thought Scorton played with that. That's just kind of, he's more of a rugged player. But I think if he can get his mind right against the run, he's fine. He has the gifts. Like I say, he has the tools. It's going to be mental and just being able to maximize everything that he does there. So moving on to our final topic of the night, we have some money talks, and we talked to the money man. I call him Marty Bird. Ozark reference, Brent Tillis. He was on the podium. It kind of caught me off guard that he just kind of randomly was there on the podium, but he was grilled by you guys about the contract situation specifically for Bryce. And we're going to talk about Bryce and Mike Jackson, but we'll start with Bryce because that's kind of the thing. After 3 years in the league, you're eligible for an extension. A lot of people are asking, is that something that would be possible? I think we've kind of found out without them saying that it's probably not going to happen before the year. They want to wait and see. And Joe, you wrote a piece about that as well out of The Athletic, talking about pretty much it being a done deal that they're not going to do that, and they want to see Bryce as an ascending player continue to ascend or whatever. Just want to get your thoughts about them in the contract situation in terms of them not doing it now, but them particularly waiting, we assume, to see how this year goes.
Yeah, I mean, Brandt actually kind of let it slip in answering a question yesterday, and he said, we'll see how the year plays out. And so I said, wait a minute. And of course he backtracked a little bit, but yeah, I think it's smart. I don't get the impression that Bryce's side is like all ticked off about this or anything. I think that they've had some good, healthy discussions with Bryce's people. I mean, everyone wants their money, right? But they see that Bryce is heading in the right direction. Could end up costing the Panthers more money. I mean, if Bryce goes out and becomes an all-pro this year and takes a big leap up. I mean, we had our quarterback tiers come out this morning that Mike Sando for The Athletic does. And Bryce was in the third tier. And I think he was ranked 22nd, which kind of jibes with where he ended the year last year in terms of quarterback rating league-wide and even, like, I think passing yards. But it's not out of the realm of possibility that in his third year in Dave Canales' system that he makes a huge jump, and then the Panthers might be like, whoa, maybe we should have extended him before the season. But if I'm playing devil's advocate for them, I want to see more consistency out of Bryce. I mean, he's ended some games in phenomenal fashion. He's gotten better as the season has gone on the last 2 years. I think they want to see it starting week one all the way through.
I mean, and Dunk, you had a tweet that, you know, talked about Bryce's stats in the second half of the season the last 2 years and how the offense seems to kind of heat up as a whole, and the Panthers seem to just start really slow. And that's why I asked before earlier this week if Coach Canales not calling the plays is going to change his perspective and outlook on preseason, how he treats the preseason, because the Panthers do seem to start the season off slow and get to about that midpoint of the season before they kind of start to gel and things like that. And you can't always afford a super slow start. With this schedule that they have this season, they cannot afford a super slow start. So it'll be interesting to see how Canales handles these next three preseason games. This is kind of just, we're not even counting this one, but these next three preseason games to get this team more ready than they have been in the past couple of seasons.
Yeah. I mean, just to add context to what you were saying, it came from the Athletic article that Joe's talking about. And it said Bryce Young, he was ranked 28th out of 33 qualifying quarterbacks in EPA per pass play last season as a whole. But it jumped to 8th from week 11 on to the rest of the year. This is the second consecutive season that he's finished stronger than he started. Obviously, 2024, the benching. There was really nowhere to go but up from there. But yeah. I think it's just interesting that it's kind of a pattern of what's going on. And I guess you can chalk it up to preseason, but if we're talking about from week 11, I can't blame a slow being rusty or being whatever in week 8 or 9 on the preseason. Right. You know? So it's right, kind of just weird. It's tough for me. And I think just I'm a little bit of a Canales apologist, according to some people, but I got the vibe that, And this kind of goes with some people thinking that Canales is too conservative. I got the vibe that Canales tries to call plays that's best for more so the team than Bryce Young. And that includes, okay, trying to protect that defense, trying to bleed some clock, keep a Giro's team off the field that doesn't have a pass rush or is not the best against the run either. If they're getting turnovers, you completely take the air out of the game by limiting possessions and going forward on fourth down and keeping the ball in your hands. And so it felt like maybe he was doing more so of that. And versus just trying to say, okay, hey, Bryce, here's the keys, go do whatever. And so that's kind of the vibe I felt just from overall from the team, because again, they would run the ball on 3rd and 7, get 3 or 4 yards, and then maybe run it again or go for it on 4th down. And that's why they were so potent at it and just keep the chains moving. So it just felt like they were playing a certain way that they thought was the best path to victory. And hey, it worked. It allowed them to punch above their weight class. They beat the Packers in Lambeau. I'm in an ugly game. They beat the Rams, obviously, and they play some other teams pretty close as well, even when they did lose. So I thought that was interesting. But yeah, my thing is, it didn't make sense to do a contract right now for him. Where do you price him at? You know, and for Bryce, they're probably going to lowball you if they tried to price you now. You don't want that. You're better off betting on yourself. And for them, you don't want to go too high because you could end up overshooting. And so I think it's just best to get more information on both sides. And he's gotten better as the team has gotten better. And the team, we expect them to take another step and be better now. So it's just interesting.
For sure.
Yeah, I think
you know, Bryce is one of those guys that embraces challenges like that. He likes, I'm not going to say he likes being, you know, underestimated. No one likes that. But I do think that the type of competitor he is, he's not out here like, okay, I'm playing for money. It's, I'm playing for the respect that and you know, the recognition that I know I can garner in this league versus how I came in. So, like you said, I don't think that it's necessarily negative for both sides to want more information and to want to play this thing out a little bit.
Will be interesting to monitor all season, because this is, this is looming over this franchise, this decision. And it almost feels like it's going to be like, we're going to be monitoring the quarterback play anyway, week to week. So I don't know that it's really any more so. It's just now it comes with like these dollar figures attached to it. And is he playing his way into the $45-50 million range? Or where is he, and when might they pull the trigger? But I don't think, even if he has a great season, I was reading one of the comments, well, maybe if he plays well, they can take care of him in the middle of the season. I don't think they'll do that. I know they did with Chuba. I don't think they do that with a quarterback, but we'll see.
I mean, that could be what's holding up Mike Jack also.
Yeah, and we're up against the clock, so we'll finish up with Mike Jack. I know it sounds like just the writing could be on the wall. It seems like both guys are like, okay, we're going to play this contract year out. If I'm here, cool. If I'm not, I get a chance to at least prove myself here on a good team. So what are you guys' thoughts on, like, I guess Brent and Mike kind of being on the same page in terms of their comments of saying, like, we're not extending. It kind of is what it is.
Yeah, I try to get Brandt to talk a little bit about the age thing, because you kind of hear rumblings about, well, he's going to be turning 30 soon, which I think isn't until December or January, but he is approaching 30. Tillis wouldn't touch that particular aspect of the conversation, but. You know, you wonder if they feel like Sheena brought Will Lee's name up a while ago. Like, do they think if this guy plays himself, like, frankly, Will Lee's going to have a big say in what they do with Michael Jackson, I think, Mike Jackson, because of if he plays well, they might be like, guess what? We got a guy on a rookie contract, and I think we're just going to roll with him next year opposite J.C. Horn.
Now, make no mistake, Mike Jack has absolutely played his way into a bigger contract than he was playing on. He's playing for $5 million. Like, definitely. That was very much a prove-it deal here in Carolina. He believed in you know, J.C. Horn on that other side of the ball, and he felt like he could make this defense better, which is what he did. And for him to be the number one ranked corner in pass breakups and, you know, what, number four in another statistic. He's top five cornerback in a lot of different statistics. I don't care how old you are. He was 28 when he did it. And, you know, but I get the age things. I mean, he's not going to sign a five-year deal or anything like that, but he's absolutely played his way into a bigger bag for sure, whether he gets that here or whether he gets that elsewhere. But he most certainly will be deserving. I think that his name being left off a lot of those, you know, top corners of 2025 or top 100. I think that was an injustice. And I think that that's just one of those politic parts of sports. But I do think that anyone that has watched the Panthers knows that Mike Jack is definitely deserving of an extension, whether that happens here or, you know, like Tilla said, you know, he's what we want and hopefully it works out. And if it doesn't, he absolutely will go and get paid somewhere else, because he's created a great platform for himself. It might just be one of those things that both parties got what they wanted. Mike Jack got a resurgence. The Panthers got, you know, a lockdown corner. And when the relationship is over, it's over. If it can be extended, it can be extended.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just to put a bow on it to wrap up the show, I agree. I mean, Mike deserves his money now, and he'll have to play it out to see how it goes. And this guy's been kind of middling most of his career. Like, this is going to be his one chance to kind of cash in. Like, you can't really be mad at him for wanting to do that. He's changed his representation to David Mulligetta and Athletes First, somebody that's notorious for getting every penny from whatever franchise it may be, whether it's Michael Parsons or Deshaun Watson or whomever. So he's got the right representation. And so we'll see how it plays out. But again, we'll see how he performs this year. Got to do it again. Like you said, if he has a couple bad practices like he did that first day back, it may not even matter. And I think he's hard enough on himself, and he's taking it in stride like a pro. And I wouldn't expect anything less from Mike Jack. Okay. So we appreciate you guys tuning in to the Panthers Collective yet again. Next time we talk to you guys, we'll be able to recap what happens on Thursday. So it will be really, really exciting. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the channel if you have not. We're rocking and rolling. This is our third week, and we're not stopping until April, something like that. I don't know. We're going through the season and some of the off season as well. So we will be here for you guys. I appreciate everybody tuning in. Shout out to Sheena and Joe. You can follow Sheena at Sheena_Marie3, correct? On Twitter, and you can follow Joe at Joseph Person, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, and you can follow me at Dunk On Demand on Twitter or X, whatever you call it. And I appreciate everybody watching. See you next time.